up the morning paper, it was filled with tragic things. I sat down to watch the news, there were more depressing scenes. Seems like all this old world over, only trouble can be found. Only looking up to heaven keeps us all from looking down. Here's a little good news, God is still in control, has a power still in business, changing lives and saving souls. Here's a little good news, let it ease your troubled mind. Jesus' church is getting ready, and it's almost leaving time. All around these hearts are breaking, you can hear it in their songs. Someone went and left somebody, someone did somebody wrong. There's a better way of living, with a future bright ahead. Just listen to the gospel, and this is what it says. Here's a little good news, God is still in control, has the power still in business, changing lives and saving souls. Here's a little good news, let it ease your troubled mind. Jesus' church is getting ready, and it's almost leaving time. Here's a little good news, God is still in control, has the power still in business, changing lives and saving souls. Here's a little good news, let it ease your troubled mind. Jesus' church is getting ready, and it's almost leaving time. Jesus' church is getting ready, and it's almost leaving time.
Thank you, Brother Raw. Thank the Lord for good news. And let's all stand together real quickly here. And I do want to apologize to visitors if you're visiting with us this morning. Pastor Myers is, of course, on vacation for the next next 2 weeks, I believe. And so you pray for him while he is gone. Pray that he would get re-energized, and pray that he would have a good time with his family. And pray that the church doesn't burn down so we don't have to call him and bother him, during his vacation. God is still in control. Even though Brother Myers is on vacation, God is still in control, and we're still having church. And so praise the Lord for that. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I was thinking about what I was going to preach about this morning, and I thought about preaching on the subject of biblical authority. And just because of just the different things that I see, I follow up with the news. I probably read the news on a daily basis. And so I see all the things that are going on in society, the disrespect for authority that I see. It's horrible. You know, disrespect for police officers, disrespect for people that you know, for mayors, for even for the president. Even if you didn't vote for the president, you ought to still respect the president. And so... But there's just I only got one amen on that one. And, good night. But anyway, there's just a lack of respect for authority. All these different protests that are going on, you know. And there's just no, I believe that part of that is because churches are not taking the time to teach their congregations. These are, by the way, a lot of these protesters, they're Christians. They go to church. I mean, when they come up and they speak, they can speak. They get filled with the Spirit when they speak. Okay, I was thinking about that, but I'm like, no, I really don't want to talk about that because I'm gonna get in the flesh, and then it wouldn't be good. So this morning, we're gonna read a couple of verses here, and then we'll get into I'll tell you what the subject of the message is. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We're gonna read. Verse number 1. The Bible says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Look at the next book here, a couple books down, Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1, and we're going to read a verse number 5. Titus 1, verse number 5. The Bible says, "If any, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine." Amen. "No striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." This morning I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you as a brother in Christ. I do appreciate the relationship that we have with the Lord when we get saved. He becomes our Father. All right, and then we have brothers in Christ, and we have sisters in Christ. And so this morning, I don't want to talk to you as a pastor because I'm not a pastor, but I would like to talk to you as a brother. We have the same Heavenly Father. You're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. I want to talk to you on this subject, on encouraging your pastor. Encouraging Pastor Myers. And how we as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, can be an encouragement to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us and that you would help us and guide us as we open up your word and as we preach from your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have open hearts and open minds, open ears, Lord, to your spirit. Please, Lord, meet with us. We need you. Help me to say the things that you want me to say and what you don't want me to say. Lord, help me not to say it. And we ask that you would meet with us. Help us to be more like you. Help us to be an encouragement, Lord, to each other, and an encouragement, and specifically to Pastor Myers, because we were here this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that I've been on staff for 23. No, I've been a Christian for 23 years. I've been on staff. This is my 16th year. I'm starting my 16th year, I believe. And I feel when I look at some of the other guys, I feel like an old guy now. Really, you know, Brother Joseph is like 10 years younger than I am. Brother Jim is I don't know, maybe like 6-7 years younger. Well, your sister's 3 years younger, and so yeah. So anyway, about 4, 5 or 6 years younger than me, and so it used to be when I first got on staff, we had brother, you know, Pastor, and then Brother Myers, and then Brother Johnny Esposito, and then Brother Dave Bohr. All those guys are old. They're old. They're all in their 50s, I'm sure. Brother Esposito, I think he's in his 60s, I don't think he is. But anyway, so I remember when Pastor would go out of town, I really didn't dread it so much, and I'm getting to something here, so be patient with me. I really didn't dread him going to out of town because I knew that as a young staff member, he wasn't going to ask me to preach. And so I'm like, you know what, this is, hey, go on vacation as long as you want, take your time. But now that, you know, Pastor's not around right now, and then Brother Board and Brother Esposito are in Cambodia, you know, we can't fly him in to come and preach on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. And so I really, when Brother Myers goes on vacation, I sit in my office and I'm like, don't ask me to preach. Please don't ask me to preach. I love song leading. I love leading the choir. I love teaching Sunday school class, you know. I love playing dodgeball on Sunday nights with the kids. You know, I like doing things like that. But when it comes to preaching, maybe it's pride. And I just feel like, man, I don't even know if I can do this. I think it was a few months ago, Brother Myers went somewhere and he was going to be gone, and he called me and he goes, Brother Pineda, I didn't have you preach the last time I left, but I want you to preach this time. And I'm like, no, you don't have to, Brother Myers. I was good when you didn't ask me to preach, and I'd be good. I'm fine with it. But anyway, so he asked me to preach and I'm here this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, I apologize if the message does not make any sense to you. But I want to talk to the church. I do want to talk to the church this morning on being an encouragement to Pastor Myers. Of course, I read you the some verses in regards to the qualifications of a pastor. And if you look at all of those qualifications of a pastor, really, we all know and we all understand that, you know, Pastor Myers qualifies. He's qualified to be a pastor. Okay, and there's no doubt about it. And if you don't believe that, we could talk about that later. But he's faithful. We know that. Well, he's blameless. By the way, the word blameless doesn't mean that you're never accused of things. But when you're accused of something, you know what? It doesn't stick. Okay? By the way, there's always accusations. I've heard accusations about Brother Myers, but they don't stick. You know? And by the way, and I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to get to that in a minute, but blameless, the husband of one wife, amen? Praise the Lord, just one. Yeah. Hey, we're not Mormons around here, all right? Yeah. And that's what Mormons are. Thank you, Brother Raul. Vigilant. He is vigilant. Right. His eyes are vigilant. And there, you know, he's seeing and he's looking at everything that's going on in the church, and you need a man like that. He's vigilant. He's sober. By the way, that doesn't mean that we're all sober this morning. I hope, right? Because we don't have a hangover. We weren't drinking alcohol this morning. Hey, don't be putting alcohol in your coffee. Okay, that's not. Christians don't do that. Don't put alcohol. Anyway, sober. He's serious. He's got a serious attitude. He's not foolish. He doesn't act like a youth pastor. Amen. Youth pastors are, you know what? Not Brother Ross, but in other churches, okay? They're foolish sometimes. They do dumb things. We all do dumb things when we're younger. Good behavior. He's orderly. He's organized. And he is very organized. He shows hospitality. Loving the stranger. The Bible talks about that in the Old Testament. Loving the stranger. By the way, when I was a teenager, he loved the stranger. I lived with Brother Myers and Mrs. Myers. And Jessica Myers, and Allison Myers, and Nino Myers. You guys know who Nino is? Nino is Stephen. Stephen Myers, his nickname is Nino. Nino. And then Hannah was born. Okay, I lived with him for 4 years. He loves the stranger. By the way, there are other people. Before I lived with him, Brother Kanaro Keo, who's a missionary in Cambodia, used to live with him. Okay? And then all these other people that would come around, you know, for a week or for a month. Mrs. Ross, I remember she used to stay with us. And she stayed with us for like a month when her mom was in Cambodia or something like that. Brother Tu, a missionary to Cambodia, stayed with us for a little bit. He was homeless. I just moved in from Georgia. He loves a stranger. Shows hospitality. But it's pretty neat that over the last 2 years in the summer, he's invited the whole church to his house. That's pretty neat. Yep. I like it. You know, we get to over there and destroy his house. Okay? What a blessing. He's a teacher. I don't know about you, but I have been fed. I've been fed from the Word of God every time Pastor Myers teaches. Right. Every time. Yep. I'm like, man, that is good. I never thought about that. I never saw that text that way. By the way, if you're not being fed, it's not Pastor Myers' fault. It's your fault. Maybe your heart, that seed that's trying to that's being sown, you know, it's not breaking through that stony ground. So if you're not being fed, don't blame the pastor. I've heard so many people blame the pastor because they're not being fed as Christians. Hey, feed yourself. Now, I know this is a Sunday morning crowd. We got new people here. But every now and then you need to hear something like this. Learn to feed yourself. Stop being a baby Christian. Good night. You know what? My son, I got a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, I got a 12-year-old, an 11-year-old. I don't feed them anymore. And if I had to, man, maybe I would use a slingshot. So they wouldn't want me to feed them anymore. And they'd feed themselves. Amen. He's a teacher, not a drinker of liquor. He doesn't drink alcohol. I know it. I've known him for 23 years. Okay. I remember when Mrs. Myers used to work for the Trenton Group. She used to manage like 23 different buildings. Oh, my soul. Crazy, crazy lady. I remember going with her to collect rent. And this is back in the days where, you know, no one's writing checks. There was no, you know, electronic, you know, payments or anything like that. We'd have to go and collect cash. And then we'd go to her office. And then we had moved from Flagstone to Roxanne, 1908 Roxanne Avenue. And I remember going into the office and all this cash laying there, you know. And so we'd be counting the cash, all the rent. Of course, you know, you got to turn it into the owner because they were just stewards. But I remember come Christmas time, they would get gifts. And Brother Myers mentioned this story before, but I remember he got a bottle of wine, very expensive wine, one Christmas. Well, these people are not saved, okay? And by the way, I had somebody that came to our church for about a month on Christmas time, about 2 years ago, give me a bottle of wine right here in the hallway. I'm like, hey, thank you very much. And I walked over to my office, you know, opened it up. No, I'm just kidding. He never drank that wine. He didn't drink alcohol. No. In fact, he said, Brother Pineda, take care of that. Get rid of it. I'll take care of it. And you guys know the story? We had a dog. His name was Shadow. Remember Shadow, the black lab, Shadow? Okay. And by the way, the Myers never did well with dogs. Never. They always blame me, but no, it wasn't me, all right? It just didn't do well with pets. And I remember I grabbed a bottle of wine. I'm like, you know what? Good night. Humans should have been drinking this, but you know what? Maybe it's okay for a dog. And I poured it into that dog's little water bowl there. That was bad. By the way, nowadays, you know what? They probably put me in prison for doing something like that because dogs are more important than humans. Anyway, we're getting off the subject here. Hey, he's not a drinker. He's not money hungry. Yep. Not money hungry. You know, nowadays, you know, you look at TV preachers, TV evangelists, and there's a lot of money hungry preachers. Yep. There's a show. I never watched it, but I heard about it. Preachers of L.A., right? I've never seen it, but these guys are all decked out, $500 suits. You know where we get our suits, our staff? We go on DeLamo. Brother Chim told us about this place. We go over there to Mona's. Two for $120. Okay, that's what we do on stage. You guys are like, man, you guys look so sharp, la, la, la. Two for 20. Man, these suits will last you about a year, then you got to go buy another one, all right? You know, with the new styles and whatnot, you know, everything's fitted nowadays. You don't have to buy a new suit. You know what I did with my suits is I went to my tailor and I'm like, hey, everything's fitted now. Can you make my suit jacket smaller? He goes, yeah, I could do that. Can you make my pants a little bit smaller too? Yeah, I could do that. I've had this suit for years. Like, did you get a new suit, Brother Pineda? No, I just went and spent $20 and got my old suit retailored so it fits like the way, you know, whatever the fad is today. He's patient. Okay. Okay. And working with us knuckleheads, okay, including myself, he needs patience, right? Yep. And he is. Praise the Lord that we have a man of God in the church. I want to read you from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy, but chapter number one. Of course, Deuteronomy, in chapter number one, and I'm going to read you, we're going to read two verses, but just to give you a little bit of a background here. The children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. And God tells Moses that he's not going to be able to go. Yep. Sorry, you can't go. And so I want you to notice what God told Moses to do. Look at verse number, Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 3, just a couple chapters over, and look at verse number 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people. I learned a lesson when I was a teenager. I lived with the Myers. Brother Myers had a collection of preaching cassettes. Okay, so some of you teenagers know what cassettes are, but you know, look it up. It's on the internet somewhere. I'm sure you can find one. But he had a collection of preaching tapes in his closet, and he would allow me to listen to those preaching tapes. He goes, George, whenever you want to, go for it, help yourself, you know. And so I wanted to grow as a Christian, and I'd go in there, and every week I would go, and I listened to preaching. My favorite time to listen to preaching was on Sunday afternoon right after church. You know how preaching puts you to sleep in church? I wanted to take a nap after church, so I just listened to preaching, and man, it put me to sleep. But anyway, I get those tapes, and I remember listening to a message entitled, Encourage Your Encourager. Okay? And that's what this message is this morning. Let's encourage the man that's supposed to encourage us. You see, because if he's not encouraged, then he can't encourage you. Let's be an encouragement to the man of God so that he can be an encouragement to us. None of us like to be around people that are always sad and are always, it's annoying sometimes. He doesn't either. He's human, just like you are. And when you come to him and you're like, oh, how's your week? Hey, good to see you. How was your week? Oh, well, you know, I'm only saved and I'm only going to heaven when I die. And, you know, and my kids love the Lord, but I got this ingrown toenail. Hey, let's be an encouragement to the man of God. His job, right? One of his jobs is to exhort us. Now, he can't do it if he's not encouraged himself. How many preachers quit the ministry every year? Hundreds quit the ministry every year. A lot of times it's because of discouragement. They get discouraged. Just like you get discouraged, he gets discouraged. So this morning I want to encourage you to encourage your pastor. Let's be an encouragement to Pastor Myers. I'm going to give you a few points and then we'll get out of here. I think we won't be here too long. Number one, how do you encourage? How can we be an encouragement to Pastor Myers? How can we do it? Through faithfulness. Through faithfulness. Man, there's nothing more encouraging than just people that are faithful. Church members that are faithful. Okay? Number one, with our presence. Faithfulness with our presence. You know, when Pastor Myers, and every pastor does this, every pastor in America does this. When Pastor Myers is up here and he's singing, or when he's sitting down, listening to announcements, you know what he's doing sometimes? He's taking roll call. He's looking around and he's like, hey, man, it's good to see so-and-so over here, and it's good to see Brother Robert over here, and so-and-so is in their place, and so-and-so is in, but where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? I wonder where so-and-so is at. And sometimes, believe it or not, maybe this is not how we should be, but sometimes we think about the so-and-so that's not in church more than we think about the people that are in church. We just can't help it sometimes. So how can we be an encouragement to Pastor Myers? With our presence. Hey, be faithful to church. Just be in God's house when the church doors are open. Just be here. Be faithful to church. Be in your place. We know the verses, Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at, I'll read these out to you. Verse number 24, the Bible says, and let us consider one another. Okay? You know, when you come to church and when you bless somebody with your presence, sometimes we have that spirit, let me bless you with my presence, okay? Okay. You know, when you bless somebody with your presence, really what it does, it encourages them. You know what you're doing? You're being considerate of others. Let's be faithful to church. Let's be an encouragement, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Can I tell you something? When you're not in church, it's a discouragement to your pastor. Now, I'm preaching at the choir. By the way, I'm glad I'm preaching at the choir. Okay? Because sure enough, somebody in here is probably thinking, I don't know about this church thing. Yeah, are they really going to miss me? Yes, they will. Yes, we will. Yes, you will. You will be missed. Be in your place. Be in your place. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 8. And I'm gonna get to something here, but the Bible says, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place." You know, when you leave a nest, you're leaving the protection of that nest. Okay? When we're not in our place, bad things happen. You know, bad things happen to people that don't come to church. Now, bad things happen to everybody: people that come to church and people that don't come to church. Right? But I've noticed, you know, in the 23 years that I've been in church, I've noticed people leave the church, not leave church and go to another church, but leave God, period. You know, bad things happen when you leave God. I read a little a story in a little devotional that I have, and I'd like to share this with you. John Frederick Parker. Has anybody ever heard of that name before? I never heard of this guy until I read this little illustration. But John Frederick Parker was one of the original officers when the Metropolitan Police Department of Washington, D.C. was established in 1861. He had an undistinguished record, having been reprimanded on more than one occasion for sleeping or being drunk while on duty. Hey, not a good police officer, all right? Despite his checkered past, Parker was assigned to guard the booth of President Abraham Lincoln during the performance of Our American Cousins at Ford's Theater on April 14, 1865. During the intermission of the play, Parker and several other men left the theater and went to a nearby tavern for drinks. As a result, when John Wilkes Booth arrived at the presidential box, there was no security guard to stop him from entering and from killing President Abraham Lincoln. You know, bad things happen when you're not in your place. Yeah. Hey, let's be in our place. Let's encourage Pastor Myers by being in our place. Maybe you're sitting here this morning like, man, you know, I'd rather be like watching a football game. Okay? And you know what? Sometimes I feel like just staying home and watching a football game. We've got a team in LA now, all right? We got the Rams. They're coming into town. Now, I'm a homer. I love everything in L.A., okay? Some people, who's your football team? When we didn't have a team in L.A., I'm like, I don't have a team. I'm a homer, and I love the Dodgers, and I love. Now, when I say love, I don't mean like love, you know, like I love the Lord, okay? You know what I mean, all right? I love the Dodgers. I love the Lakers. I love the Kings, okay? And hockey, that's hockey. The Ducks? No, they're in Anaheim. I don't like the Ducks. Anyway, the Angels? They're in Anaheim. I don't like the Angels. Like I said, I'm a homer. I like LA teams, and you like how I say LA, right? I say LA like I'm from LA, all right? And now we have the Rams, and I even like the Galaxy. You guys know who the Galaxy is? They play soccer. Okay, I like the Galaxy. Okay, but you know what? None of those things are gonna keep me from being in church. I remember when the Lakers were good. A few years ago, not too long ago, okay, when they were good. They were winning championship games. You guys remember that? Yeah. They were playing on Sunday night when we were in church, right? Yeah. And I wanted to go watch the game. As soon as the church service was over, I was like, hey, brother, good to see you. Have a good night. Good to see you. Have a good night. I want to go check the score. I wanted to watch the game. Forgive me for my worldliness or whatever. But anyway, but I enjoy it. But not sports are not going to keep me from church, okay? I heard somebody, some people get caught up with their children playing sports. They think, you know, they've got the next Ken Griffey Jr. in their home. You know, the next Michael Jordan, you know. My son, Mark, plays basketball. Okay, he's good. But he's no Michael Jordan. Okay? He's no Stephen. Now, he may think he's Stephen Curry. Romaneer, you probably think the same thing. You're not, okay? You're not Stephen Curry, all right? Okay? Look at the statistic. Oh, but you don't know my son. I had somebody in the church invite me to one of their kids' sporting events. And, oh, man, he's good. You got to come watch him. He's good. And this is a long time ago. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll come. I'll come to one of the games. And so anyway, so I went to the game. And I sat down. And I'm like, so, hey, where's your son? I don't see your son. And he's like, oh, he's over there on the bench. I'm like, and I'm over here thinking, like, well, I thought you said he was good. And the coach, you don't understand. The coach, what he does is he gives everybody a little bit of time to play. you know, he lets these guys play first, and then he lets these guys play a little bit later. But he gives everybody, he just tries to be fair with all the kids. And I'm like, well, I know sports. And I used to play sports. Okay, and I used to play Little League Baseball. That was my favorite sport. And I played, but when I played, I was not playing on the bench. I was a starter. And I played the whole game. Okay? And maybe you think like, oh, man, you just don't know my son. Okay, I would not miss church because Mark is good at basketball, and he's going to go play a basketball game during church hour. It's just not, I just wouldn't do it. Anyway, let's move on because I'm getting dirty looks right now. But let's be an encouragement with our presence. Hey, let's be an encouragement with our giving. Let's be an encouragement. But I thank the Lord that we have a generous people. We have people that love the Lord. They give to the Lord. They give to his work. Hey, let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. We just went through a stewardship month. And every time we go through a stewardship month, the offerings go up. Hey, let's keep them up there. And let's even increase them beyond that. Let's be a blessing to him with our giving. You know, probably for any pastor in America, one of the hardest days, or one of the toughest days, you know, is Monday morning. Monday morning. And if you've been around church, you've been on staff at any church, you understand this because you see your preacher, you see your pastor. Monday morning is the day when they get all the reports, right? How many people were in church on Sunday? Oh, man, attendance was down. Good night. How about the offering? Were the offerings good this week? Are we going to meet our budget? And if the offerings are not good and we don't meet our budget, it's discouraging to your pastor. But if we are faithful in our giving, week after week, even when we're on vacation, okay, just faithful with our giving, you know what? That's encouraging to our pastor. Let's be an encouragement to him with our presence, with our giving. Giving our finances, giving our time to ministry. Thank the Lord for all the people in the church who work in ministry. Let's be faithful to that. Brother Ramiro, I love his attitude when he gets a raise. Love his attitude. Love his spirit. I wish every church member had this spirit. Okay? He gets a raise, and he goes, praise the Lord, I got a raise. And guess what? My tithe just got a little bit bigger. Okay? We have a lot of church members that are like that. Praise the Lord. By the way, you pray, and you pray for a job, and God gives you that job. You know why God gave you that job? Obviously so you can provide for your family, but also so that you can provide for the work of the Lord. Let's be faithful. Let's be an encouragement to Pastor Myers with our giving. When I was in Bible college, I struggled. I went to a West Coast Baptist College for a year, and this is when they first started the college. And Lancaster was a desert still. There wasn't a Walmart there yet when I went. And I had a hard time finding a job, and I found a job, a part-time job, working from 2 a.m. till 6 a.m. I mean, oh, awful hours. I worked at a place like similar to UPS. It was called RPS, and they're probably out of business now because, you know, Brown is doing everything for everybody, right? So anyway, I got a job there. Then I got another job that started at 3:30 in the afternoon, and I got off at 7. I mean, the hours were awful. I would have to sleep between work, between school. It was bad. One Christmas break, I went home, and I live with the Myers. I went home. And before I went home, the college vice president called me into his office, and I went into his office, and I sat there. He goes, George, I need to talk to you about something. I need to talk to you about your school bill. And I'm like, good night. I go, hey. He goes, you know what? If you can't come up with $300 to pay for some of your school bill, then you can't come back to Bible college. Okay? I was discouraged. I went home. You know, and I think I probably didn't talk to Brother Myers about it till like the day I was supposed to go back to Bible college. But I brought it up to Brother Myers, and I said, you know, hey, Brother Myers, just call him Brother Steve. Brother Steve, can I talk to you for a minute? He goes, yeah, sure, come on. So I went into his office, and I told him the situation. I said, look, I've tried to get a job. I've got two jobs right now. They're both part-time jobs, and I'm working on my school bill. You know what I'm doing. And then I go, but they told me if I don't come up with $300 that I can't come back to Bible college. And so he said, okay, I understand, I see. I remember he pulled out his checkbook, and he wrote out a check for me for $300. Not for me, West Coast Baptist College. He didn't trust me. He didn't put my name on it, you know. He said, no, this is going to, it's going to the college. And he wrote out a check for $300. Now, that was an encouragement to me. Well, I've seen him do that with so many people here in the church. Where he's gone out of his way to be a blessing to you financially. Well, he's never done that for me. If you were in a situation where you needed help financially, he would do it for you.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I got that. What an encouragement that was to me. I returned the favor because that's what Christians do. Let me be an encouragement to you. When Brother Myers quit his job and he went into full-time ministry. Stephen and I were talking about this the other day. But they used to live on Broadway. They were managing properties, managing apartments. And I remember they were struggling financially. Allison used to have to go sell candy every summer, right, to pay for your school bill. Every summer. And they hated it. They hated it. You know, they did it out with a smile, but they hated it. What kid enjoys selling candy? Okay? I don't know of any. My kids hate it. Okay? And I remember when he first got into ministry, his wife was not working for the big Trenton group. She wasn't managing 23 properties. But I know that they were hurting financially. And I remember Christmas time came around. My wife and I, we were engaged. And we were in Bible college. And this is when I went to the Silicon Valley, to a different Bible college. And there were jobs there everywhere. Every job was paying. You know, we had college kids that were making $30 an hour. This is in 1999, 2000. College kids. No, I wasn't making $30 an hour, okay? And so I wasn't that blessed. But I was making good money. My wife was making good money. And so I saw that he was struggling financially. And I remember Christmases were very, very, they were great. I remember when I moved to the Myers house, and our first Christmas, I, wow, I get more than one gift? This is pretty neat. And then that Christmas was not a really good Christmas. And I do remember this. I talked to my fiance, Perry Chim. I go, Perry, I want to be a blessing to the Myers family. I want to be an encouragement to them. And I remembered when he gave me $300 to stay in school. And I said, I want to write Brother Myers a check, and I want to give, and I told him, I think I gave it to Mrs. Myers. I gave him a Sama. I go, Miss Sama, I want to give you $300 so that you can buy the kids some Christmas gifts. Okay. Hey, can we be an encouragement to Pastor Myers?
Yes.
If you find out he likes something, why don't you go out of your way and buy it for him? By the way, he's not a god. We know that. He's not, we're not Catholics. He's not the Pope. He's not a priest. Thank the Lord, right? Amen. Man, if he was a priest, I mean, you keep your boys away from that man, right? Good night. Sorry, former Catholic. I used to be a Catholic, right? Don't stone me. Used to be. Now I'm saved. I'm a Christian now. But hey, so let's be an encouragement to him with our presence, with our giving. Let's be an encouragement. Two more, and I'm just going to give them to you with our prayers. Pray for your pastor. Pray for him. He needs it. Oh, you know, it seems like he's doing fine. Well, pray that he continues to do fine. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for him. Here's another one. Listen and apply preaching to your life. Listen to the preaching from behind this pulpit, and then apply it to your life. And then every now and then, go ahead and let him know. Hey, you know what you preached the other day, Pastor Myers? You talked about being honest and how, you know, God rewards honesty. And so I went to work, and I was late, and my boss asked me if I was late. And normally I lie to my boss, and I say, I was here, I was just in the restroom. But you know what? I was honest, and I told him the truth. And my boss said, you know what, la, 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 I got a bonus and so forth. And man, praise the Lord, I applied your preaching to my life, and it helped me. Listen to the preaching. Apply it to your life. When you see the Lord working out miracles in your life, let him know about it. That encourages a pastor. I don't know about you, but I do want to be an encouragement to the man whose job is to encourage me. I want to be encouraged. By the way, this message right here, you can apply it to your marriage. Wife, be an encouragement to your husband, who's supposed to encourage you, so that you can encourage him, and then he can encourage you, and you can encourage him, and it just goes back and forth. Listen and apply preaching to your life. Tell him and let him know about it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 19, obey them, they have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The last one is this. I'm closing my Bible. Never criticize him or allow others to criticize him. Amen. Don't criticize the pastor. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Okay? Don't go home and criticize the pastor to your spouse. Because one of these days, your pastor is going to preach something that your spouse needs. And your spouse, because you've been critical of the pastor in the past, is not going to listen to the preacher. And it's not going to help you. Man, don't criticize him. No, wait, I live with Pastor Myers for 4 years. I know a lot of his weaknesses, believe it or not. I've seen him. I know a lot of his strengths. But it's not my job to be critical. It's not your job to be critical. By the way, sometimes, sit back, somebody comes up to you and they start telling you, well, you know, Pastor Myers did this to me. And he won't let me do this. And Pastor Myers said that, you know, la, 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 la. Okay? When you hear that, you know, remember this. There's always two sides to every story. Okay? I heard something recently and I'm like, man, those people just straight out lied to you, Brother Myers. They just lied to your face. They lied to your face. They told me something different. They told you something. They just lied to your face. Okay? Hey, be careful. Don't be critical of your pastor. You're going to need him one day. Okay? You're going to need him. And so this morning, what's the message today? Let's encourage the man who God has placed here to encourage us. Let's all stand together.